You're listening to Oodles of Financial Advice with Jeremy Udell. Jeremy is a certified financial planner. He's licensed in Florida to sell insurance. He has Series 7, 24, and 65 securities licenses, and he's here to give you Oodles of Financial Advice.
What a year it's been, 2023. Globally, we started really getting back to normal, didn't we? Less masking. I have no idea what the most recent variants are doing. Not to say that, you know, COVID couldn't become a thing again, of course, but it seems like we've gotten back to normal-ish. Obviously, we're still dealing with some of the effects. We know that with inflation and interest rates and all these other effects that we're dealing with from the pandemic. But overall, I'd say we're sort of getting back to where we were before COVID hit. For me personally, it was a huge year becoming a father. I've talked about that before. I don't need to dwell on it, but it continues to be an amazing joy and an amazing challenge, but all worth it. And something that I wanted for years that I never quite knew what to expect, of course, and loving every minute of it, even the really difficult moments. But the other thing that was very different for me this year was that I led some marketing seminars that were really focused on bringing people in for financial planning for the long term, for putting together a long-term plan for retirement. And I had some observations come up specific to annuities that I just felt like I had to share with my audience here. I'm curious about your thoughts and where you come out on some of these things, because annuities are a financial tool like any other. I've talked about them before on the podcast. They have their place both for generating income and providing downside protection and tax deferral. They should never be over-apportioned to a financial plan. Yet for many, if not most financial plans, they can provide some form of diversification or protection for your plan because they're an insurance product. Yet invariably, I come across two types of people. Those who love annuities so much that they have way too much of them in their financial plan. And more prevalently, those who, regardless of how much it could help their financial plan, how much I can show that it would be an important piece of a strong financial plan, will never buy an annuity. They are completely biased against it. And I am curious why that is. How did we get here? So I wanted to share some of my observations about that from the client meetings I've had throughout the years and especially this year. Welcome to another bowl of Oodles with me as we come towards the end of this year and I reflect on some of the meetings I've had. I just thought I wanted to share some of that with you. First, I want to talk about the people who have way too much annuity. Either to the point where they are locked in to something like 70, 80, 90% of their financial plan into annuities. And what they don't realize is that having that much of your financial plan into annuities can really cost you in the ability to be flexible with your financial plan. Long-term financial plans, by definition, need to be designed for the long term. And that's why annuities can make some sense for a long-term financial plan. They do have long-term surrender charges and things of that nature. But as we saw with COVID, as we see with the banking crisis of 2008, big changes can come up that you might want to be able to adapt to, make changes to, change your whole thinking about the future. And when you lock that much of your financial plan into annuities, especially when those annuities are all still in the surrender period, you can be very unadaptable and not be able to change. If you have a big change in your own life, if we see a big change in the world, I'm not saying that people shouldn't have a significant portion, 25, 30% in annuities in some cases, to make a lot of sense for buying some income to provide for their family. And again, if you've done the math and all you would need liquid-wise is, you know, 50% of your money, yeah, even then I could see putting enough of your money into annuities to protect against downside. But really, having 70, 80, two-thirds of your money in annuities, I get that you love the downside protection. I get that you love the fact that you can participate in market gains, perhaps, with protection of losses, and that the insurance company is protecting you, and there's creditor protection. All of that makes sense to me, but you're missing out on the upside of other investments. You're missing out on the flexibility to adjust large portions of your financial plan to changing environments. And unfortunately, what that means is when I meet with people who have so much of their money in annuities, and I discover ways that their financial plan is not actually meeting their goals, there's very little that I'm able to do to help until at least those surrender charges go away. And by then, your life may have changed again, or it's possible that things that were available at a certain age, let's say in your mid to late 70s, may not be available when surrender charges show up in your 80s or 90s when they start to go away. So be careful, those of you who already agree that the idea of annuities can be beneficial to your financial plan. Don't let yourself be sold into large allocations into annuities, because you really can end up in a really difficult spot. If you may worry that you have too much in annuities, feel free to give me a call, 941-951-0443, or shoot me an email, jeremy@wealthenjoyment.com. The other people I met so many of in my meetings this year, way more than the people who had too much annuity, are the people whose flexibility isn't due to locking their money into something that can't be moved. It's into locking their mind against opportunities because they've read negative things, because their friends told them they had a bad experience, because everyone knows you should never buy annuities. This part is truly amazing to me. This groupthink of so many people who will constantly tell me annuities are bad. Now, I did run into a few people who had locked their thinking against annuities, who at least acknowledged that annuities could serve a place in a financial plan. It just wasn't for them. Well, that's a little more flexibility. Granted, it was still based on a justification of I can earn more in the market. And while that's true, the variability of returns in the market versus predictable income annuities can generate, especially when you're talking about only a piece of your own overall investment portfolio, you may not be looking at the full financial plan. Certainly, when you talk about the long-term range of possible outcomes and you want to increase your baseline, you actually might be better off including some annuities for downside protection and for income generated to you to provide for your lifestyle. So many people say, oh, well, I'll use my bonds and dividends to generate income. Those things are not contractually guaranteed to last as long as you live. But when I mention that, people who are already set against annuities will tell me that they just have no interest in that type of situation. I can show them all day the math that this is going to provide them an income they can't outlive, that they've literally won the game. I talked about in one of my podcasts the fact that when you have won a football game, the right thing to do is to kneel on the ball and run out the clock because you've already won. And if you don't, you risk actually losing the football game if you don't kneel on the ball. Some people have a financial plan where they could go buy all the income they need from an insurance company, and it wouldn't cost them a huge piece of their overall net worth to do that. But when I show them that it's through an annuity, they blanch, they wince, they get angry sometimes that I am trying to sell them something that is bad for them. This is the problem with so much of the financial world. Groupthink sets in on what the right things are to do. It makes me sad because I really think there are so many people out there who would be less stressed, happier people to have predictable income coming into their bank account every month. Yeah, you can get some income coming into your bank account from your bonds and your dividends and other income-producing investments, but none of that has a contractual promise that will last for a certain amount of years or even until you and your spouse pass away. The only place you can get that is from the annuity. But the rate of return, oh, the rate of return. It's an insurance product. You don't buy insurance products for rate of return. You don't buy your home insurance or your car insurance or your liability insurance, your umbrella insurance for a rate of return. Most people don't even buy their term life insurance because it's got a great rate of return. They do it to protect against downside. Buying that predictable income annuity from an insurance company is insuring your retirement against downside, against the fact that you could have a change in market circumstances that makes it harder to generate the income you need off your investments. And the one piece that wouldn't be affected by that as much is an annuity. Now, what kind of annuity might make sense for your financial plan? I don't know that. I would need to meet with you to talk about that. But what's weird is I know for so many of you, because I met with so many of you, who I know in my heart an annuity would have helped your financial plan, you'll still likely say to me, yeah, but annuities are bad. Yeah, but I Googled annuities and they said that they're, you know, too expensive compared to what I could do with the market. I talk through expenses. I talk about the fact that the expense on your investment plans are you're usually paying an advisor a certain percentage of your plans, and you're paying for maybe the funds in the plans if you have mutual funds. There are all sorts of fees dragging down the rates of return on your investments. And when you look at those net costs over the time you're going to hold those investments, probably paying more in costs than you might pay for an annuity. Not always. But a lot of times, especially on some of the fixed index annuities and things that have lower or no fee, it's wild to me that that's where we are, that they're too expensive or that they're just bad investments. The point isn't to have a good investment in the annuity. The point is to have a strong financial plan. I don't know what I need to do to convince so many of you to break your thinking on this, but it's sad that having spent so much time with so many people this year, I had to always pivot to, well, here's how we would do a financial plan without annuities. It's not as good, but here's what it would look like for you if we just look at stocks and bonds and maybe dovetail it with some of your real estate you might own or other things that generate income for you. It's not as set in stone for what your future will look like because there's way more variability in these returns, but I can put together financial plans without annuities. We do it all the time. But I do wish from the bottom of my heart that you would consider the benefit an annuity could bring to you. If you have questions about any of that, about why annuities can make sense for so many people, feel free to reach out to me, jeremy@wealthenjoyment.com or 941-951-0443. It's been a while since I've given you some of my thoughts on a piece of pop culture that I enjoyed, but I wanted to put out there for those of you who like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, things like Iron Man and the Avengers and Thor, there is a TV show, 2 seasons on Disney Plus called Loki. For those who know Loki, he was the bad guy from the first Thor movie, the first Avengers movie. He was in Thor 2 and 3. And in an odd set of circumstances, there was a Loki in Avengers Endgame that was a variant that sort of had this odd set of circumstances happen. He got kicked out of the timeline and shows up in Marvel's Time Variance Authority, the TVA, who monitors these variants. He's evil at the beginning of the show because he's evil Loki. Now, if you've watched these movies, you know the Loki from the Thor movies ends up becoming something of an anti-hero. And in fact, in Avengers Infinity War, that Loki dies sadly, but heroically trying to protect his brother Thor. This Loki is not that Loki exactly, because he's kicked out of his timeline quicker than that. It starts from there, and it's set in the middle of nowhere, in this sort of out of place, out of time area, but it's amazing and wild and does so many interesting things. The first season was a lot of fun and told a pretty specific story with lots of deviations all over the place, but it was twists and turns and interesting and cool to look at. And I was worried the second season wouldn't be able to hold up to it. But I actually thought the second season was a really great addition after the first. The first season ended on a cliffhanger after the storyline from the first season ended. We end on this sort of reversal of fortunes and aren't quite sure what's happening. And then the second season kicks off from there. And it takes Loki, a character who has a lot of popularity in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because Marvel's villains have been mediocre, to say the least, but Loki was a breath of fresh air as a very interesting character, very well portrayed by Tom Hiddleston, and he really gets a fantastic send-off at the end of season 2 of Loki. The whole season is really well done, really interesting. We get Kehoe Kwan, who played, for those who don't know, just won an Oscar in Everything Everywhere All at Once. He was Short Round from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, or if you're like me and actually are a Goonies guy, he was Data from Goonies, and he's grown up, and he was really good in this, really fun in the second season. Owen Wilson was wonderful the whole way through. Very Owen Wilson, but in the best kind of ways. If you're looking for something to watch with your family, maybe not the little kids, but you know, it's probably something I would say is okay to watch with your 13 plus year olds, and just want to binge something this holiday season, I recommend Loki on Disney Plus. It was really well done. A lot of the Marvel Disney Plus shows and some of the Star Wars Disney Plus shows, including Ahsoka, have been somewhat of a disappointment recently, but Loki was not. Loki, I thought, did a wonderful job of telling a very specific story about a character we all like, giving him lots of moments to shine, showing some growth and change in a character who had shown capable of growing and changing in the main story timeline of the movies, and giving him that same ability, and really such a an appropriate melancholy send-off for a character so complex and not perfect, but in the end, very redeemable, and indeed was redeemed at the end of this, at the end of this show. If you'd like to ask me more about what I think about Loki, please feel free to reach out to me, 941-951-0443, or jeremy@wealthenjoyment.com. That's it for the podcast today. Thanks, as usual, to my awesome producer, Megan Udell, who puts together that wonderful music you hear at the beginning and makes sure it fades in just right and puts in the sound effects and just generally keeps me on my A game as much as anyone could keep me on my A game. Thanks, Megan. And, of course, to my lovely wife, Rebecca, who is an awesome mother now, too. Really appreciate all the support she provides. And to everyone who's ever reached out to me about the podcast to engage, really appreciate it out there. Hoping to possibly start a segment where I address some of those comments. Haven't done it yet, but think that would be a fun way to take this podcast. If you have any comments for me about any of my podcasts, please feel free to reach out to me, jeremy@wealthenjoyment.com or 941-951-0443. I hope all of you have an excellent, excellent holiday season. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy New Year. And I look forward to seeing you here again soon when I will have more oodles for your oodle.